Good morning, guys. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason, if we haven't met. I'm one of the pastors here at The Grove. It's so good to be with you today. For those of you who've been around a while, you know that during the summer months, for the last several years, we've been going through a summer Psalms sermon series where we preach various psalms one verse at a time, and today we find ourselves in Psalm 134. And so if you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you go ahead and turn there with me now. Psalm 134, such a great psalm. I can't wait to share it with you. As you're finding your way there, I'm curious, maybe you guys have done some traveling. Who here has been up high on a mountain? Anybody? Anybody? Raise your hand. Let's see it. Okay, a few of us have. For those of you who have, traveling up onto a high mountain, it's beautiful. By the way, can anybody name actually the highest mountain peak here in the United States? Anybody? What is that? Sugarloaf Mountain. Ding, ding, ding. No, there's actually one a little bit higher than that. It's called Mount McKinley. Anybody know where Mount McKinley is? In Alaska, that's right. Maybe some of you have been there. I've had the privilege of seeing this mountain. It's extraordinary. Little fun fact for you. The top 10 highest mountain peaks in the United States of America are located in Alaska. It's true. And Mount McKinley, for example, it's located in Denali National Park. It's beautiful. 20,000 plus feet above sea level, which for mountains, that's really, really high. In the lower 48 states, Mount McKinley would be about a mile higher than our highest mountains down here. Lord willing, as a family, I'd love to take Gretel and the kids there next summer. How about this one? How about Mount Whitney? Anybody ever been there? Ever seen Mount Whitney? Mount Whitney, it's beautiful as well. It's in the Sierra Nevadas. My wife and I lived in California for several years. Mount Whitney is beautiful as well, just stunning. In the lower 48 states, Mount Whitney is the highest. Maybe some of you have been to Mount Hood or Mount Rainier, or maybe in the Rockies. There's a lot of very beautiful mountains here in our nation. And what a view when you're up high, up above the clouds especially. It's just extraordinary. If you've been to Hawaii, they got some high mountains there as well. Jason, why are you sharing this? Well, I share this with you because that's what Psalm 134 is like, the psalm at hand today. It's magnificent. It's not that long, but boy, is it grand. It's like the view from the top of a mountain. It's like pure splendor. It takes your breath away. Our journey in God's Word today takes us up, and you really can't go much higher than this. I'd love to read it for you now. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Let's look at this together. Psalm 134, if you're reading from the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible, like we do here, it says, "Behold, bless Yahweh." And this is a psalm of ascents, and I'll explain what that means in just a minute. But notice there, it says in verse 1, "Behold, bless Yahweh, all you slaves of Yahweh, who stand in the house of Yahweh by night. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you from Zion, who made the heavens and the earth." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this time now in your word. We know that your word is truth, and as we ask so often here, we pray that you would sanctify us with your truth. What a beautiful word today. Thank you, Lord, for this. It's a treasure. It really doesn't get any better than this. We cannot go any higher than this. This passage before us, it's really the goal of the Christian life. It's blessing God, and it's God, you blessing us. And this is something we're going to be doing throughout all eternity. And so we thank you for this word. I ask, Holy Spirit, for your help, that you would comfort us, encourage us, instruct us, correct us, draw us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Through this time now, we pray. for his glory and his glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and grab a seat. I don't know about you guys, but this psalm is my kind of psalm. You may have noticed it's rather short. It's actually the second shortest psalm, And so you're welcome. You're welcome. You don't have to thank me, but you're welcome. Psalm 134, this is a psalm of ascent. Yeah, Jason, what does that mean? Well, the psalms of ascent were originally sung by Jewish travelers journeying up to Jerusalem for one of the many religious feasts. It's called this because Jewish worshipers traditionally sang these psalms on the ascent or the uphill road to the city. And so there's an image for you. If you've been to Jerusalem, you know the city is situated high on a hill. Some of you will get to see this for yourself next May. It's beautiful. There's no city like Jerusalem. And so the pilgrims, the Jewish pilgrims, they would sing this psalm and many others on their way to the temple. One more thing. Today's psalm is also the final psalm of ascent. The psalms of ascent go from Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134. Today, this is the final one. And this explains why this psalm is so lofty. And that's why I used the mountaintop illustration just moments ago. It's because you really can't go any higher than this. This psalm is about blessing God, and it's about being blessed by God, which is grand. It doesn't get any better. And so I'm going to keep it real simple today. No sermon points. Just one big idea. And the big idea is this. It runs throughout the whole passage. The life that blesses Yahweh is a life that is blessed by Yahweh. All right? It's very simple. That's what we're going to see this morning. And so let's get after it. Notice here in verse 1. Do you see it? Look again. Verse 1. It says, if you're reading from the Legacy Standard Bible like I am, it says, behold. And behold, as it's translated, it comes from the original word, which is kind of used to grab our attention. It's like, look up here. Pay attention. Give ear to what I say now. That's kind of like what the psalmist is doing. Some of your translations might say, come. Or it says here, behold. Behold what? Do you see it? Behold, bless Yahweh, which is the personal name of God. It's his covenant-keeping name, used 6,800 times in the Bible. It's God's personal name. Behold, bless Yahweh. And depending on your translation, you may see the word praise Yahweh or praise the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And it could be translated bless. It could be translated praise. I think you're fine either way. You get the idea. Praise the Lord or praise Yahweh or bless the Lord. Bless Yahweh. But what does the original word actually mean, Jason? I'm curious. What does it actually mean to bless or to praise literally? It means to bow down. That's what it means. It means to kneel. That's what it means. And so how does this work then? I understand that we kind of do that to God, but does that say that God is actually doing that for us? No, we ain't all that. God doesn't kneel down or bow down to us. That isn't how it works. Here's the difference. When we bless God, when we bless him, we kneel or bow down before him in worship. All right, that's what we do. When God blesses us, he reaches down from heaven to take care of us and our needs. And so when we bless God, we bless him by praising him for who he is, for what he's done. When God blesses us, he blesses us by loving us and by providing for us. And that's what Psalm 134 is all about. Blessing God, verses 1 and 2, and being blessed by God, as we'll see in verse 3. Once again, the life that blesses Yahweh is a life that is blessed by Yahweh. And don't you want your life to be blessed? Pay attention. Behold what this psalm says. And that right there is the theme of the whole psalm. And that's not just the theme of this psalm. This is really the goal of the Christian life. It's blessing God, and it's being blessed by God. And so I want you to know on the front end, and this is important. This is a good reminder for some of you. Maybe some of you are unclear about this. That call there to bless Yahweh, you need to understand that that is anchored in the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? And so if you hope for your blessing of the Lord to actually reach the ears of God, then you must be eager to praise him as the perfect sacrifice for your sins. He is Jesus Christ the Lord, and he died on the cross for our behalf. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy for our adoration. Our God is worthy of our blessing and worship. And know this, the life that blesses Yahweh is a life that is blessed by Yahweh. Psalm 134 invites us to bless him. And as you do, be sure to praise God for his greatest work, which is the work of redemption, okay? And now, keeping with the context, who's verse 1 referring to? Do you see it there? He says, behold, bless Yahweh, all you slaves of Yahweh. And so I believe this definitely extends to us today, but the immediate context is referring to the priests and Levites who ministered in the temple, who stand in the house of Yahweh by night. And we know this, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, we know from the Old Testament that the Levites in particular praise the Lord both day and night. It talks about this in the book of Chronicles, for example, in chapter 1 of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, rather, chapter 9, verse 33. It says, those who were musicians, heads of Levite families, stayed in the rooms of the temple, and they were exempt from other duties because they were responsible for the work both day and night. Very interesting. Or 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 30. They were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and they were to do the same both morning and evening. All right? So here's the thing. Verse 1 ought to be true of every single one of us here today. All God's people, this includes you and me, we should praise him both day and night. And as believers, isn't this true? We are all slaves of Yahweh. And I know that's a strong word. Certainly it's unpopular. It's not used that much today. But the New Testament, if you're familiar, does teach this as well. We are his slaves. That's literally the word used many times in the New Testament, often translated servants in the New Testament, but it's slaves, which means Jesus is Lord. Jesus is master. He is the one high and lifted up. We are his people. We are his subjects. He is the one that we serve. And so what do? We bless him. We praise him. We worship him. And we do so both day and night. On a similar note, check out what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Such a beautiful passage. We preached through 1 Peter several years back. It says, but you are a chosen family, a royal priesthood. Here we go. A holy nation, a people for God's own possession. He is master. We are his. We're his own possession. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so as believers in Jesus, we are all priests in God's kingdom, and we are called to declare his praises. That's what it says there. And so then all God's people should praise him. All God's people should bless him. The question is this true for you today? Does this reflect your heart? Are you a worshiper this morning? Are you among those who stand in the house of the Lord, Yahweh, by night to bless him? Can you say this morning that God is, he really is my everything? God is precious to me. More precious than anyone, more precious than anything. Is that your heart? That's what we say when we bless the Lord. Lord, you are our treasure. That's what we say when we bless the Lord. And that, my friends, doesn't it? It takes clarity of mind, right? It takes clarity of mind to actually believe that and to live it out. Because you and I walk in a very, it's a challenging world, isn't it? Because we have hopes, we have expectations, we have dreams and fears and disappointments, and our minds are scattered in so many directions, always searching, always scrolling, always looking, always hunting for satisfaction. Maybe this will do it. And yet, what is our main objective? It's worship. And when we come to the house of the Lord, it's our job to focus on Yahweh and to say, Lord, you are our treasure. You are our prize. You are our delight. You are our satisfaction. You are blessedness. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's it. That's everything. And that's the first thing we see there in verse 1. We come to bless Yahweh. Notice here verse 2. Do you guys see it? Oh, boy. Lift up. Do you guys see it there? This is interesting. Oh, boy. I kind of wonder if he's talking to me right now. Feeling a little bit uncomfortable, yes. What does it say? Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. Perhaps you're wondering, is he calling for hand raising here at the Grove Bible Chapel? I just don't know how I feel about this. I kind of wish it said, put your hands in your pockets in the sanctuary. I kind of wish it said it. Like, what does it say though in the original, in the Hebrew? Does it say pockets, or what does it say? I looked it up this week. You know what it says? Anybody? It says, lift your hands. That's what it says. And so, lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. The psalmist really said it. Listen, here's the deal. Lifting up our hands is associated with worship and prayer in the Bible. All right? It's all over the place. It's not just here. It's all over the place. And it's one of the ways, one of many ways, it's one of the ways we show honor to God. And I'm sure that you would agree that it adds a visual or a physical element to our worship, to our prayer, right? Honestly, I think it's a beautiful way to express ourselves to God. And if you've never done it, all right, here's the encouragement. Give it a shot, all right? Lift up your hands in worship. And by the way, that's why maybe you notice our worship leaders here on stage. And many of you, on any given Sunday, you'll do the same. You'll lift up your hands in worship. It's a way that we show adoration to God. And so give it a try. What do you got to lose? Now you know it's biblical, all right? Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. Isn't this true? I think you'll agree this is true. We often use, don't we? We often use physical gestures to express ourselves and our emotions in life. Do you guys do this? Like, I think we do this. That's all that verse 2 is talking about. For example, some of you, I've seen you do this. Maybe we're watching a game or something, and you're watching your sports team and a big play, and there's the winning run or touchdown. Do you guys know what you do? You know what you do? Is it stand there with your hands in your pockets? No, nobody does that. What do you do? Yeah, that's what you do. Hands up. You don't care if anybody's watching in your living room. That's what you do. Or how about this? Took the kids bowling a couple weeks back, all right? And you know it's hot outside when bowling sounds fun, okay? So it sounds fun. It's a hot day. Let's go bowling. So what do you do when you roll that perfect strike? What do, gentlemen? And not like the fake strike when you have the guards up, like the real strike where it has to go down the middle. Like, what do? And you hear the pins crash, right? And they all fall down. What do? Yeah, that's what you do. I'm number one. You don't care who's watching in the bowling alley. You don't care. And ladies, what do you do when you're getting your hair done at the salon? I'm somewhat of an expert on ladies. I have one that I've been married to almost 20 years, not too shabby. I got two daughters. I guess that kind of makes me an expert now. And I have been to the salon waiting what seems like forever. And maybe you're there, ladies. You're there to get a haircut, or maybe it's time to get rid of all the gray. And what do you do when you look in the mirror and your haircut looks good? Ho, 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 ho. What do you do when all the gray is gone? What do you do? Yeah! That's what you do. I've seen it. I've seen it. I'm not much of a golfer. I know that some of you are. What do you do when you tee off and nail a Sports Center highlight film worthy drive? What do you do? And then to top it off, you sink the putt. Immediately, the envy of all your friends. What do you do? Woo! That's what you do. That's what you do. Now back to verse 2. Why not use physical gestures during worship and prayer? Why not? Sometimes we lift up our hands in worship or prayer because our heart is already lifted to God. And so rightly we get caught up. And that's okay. That blesses the Lord. Emotions are God-given. Our emotions should be engaged in praise and worship. But then isn't this also true? There are also times when you don't feel like it. Does that ever happen? Yeah, I don't really feel like it. Hands are in my pockets for a reason. You know why? It's because I don't really feel like it. I've been there. There are times when I don't feel like praising or worshiping. And your heart's not in it. But listen, that's also a very good time to lift up your hands. Do you know why? Because I've found that sometimes our hearts have the power to lift up our hands. And sometimes our hands have the power to lift up our hearts as well. And another reason we need to apply verse 2 is you are also offering yourself up for inspection. And that's what Psalm 24 teaches. It may be familiar to you. Let me read it. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, it says this: Who may ascend the hill of Yahweh? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has, do you know, clean hands and a pure heart. Who may ascend to Yahweh? Only the person who has clean hands and a pure heart. And so maybe as you hear that this morning, you're like, you know what, that's it. That's my problem. I know that I've sinned against the Lord. How can I lift up my hands to him now? That's where some of you are at. For some of you, you've never responded to the good news about Jesus. And for you then, your hands are stained with sin and your heart is not pure, as Psalm 24 says. As it is, the Bible says that you are a sinner, and as sinners, all of us have been there or are there now. Even as sinners saved by grace, we still lumber along with this flesh that we have that is yet to be redeemed. We are sinners by nature or sinners by choice. We are sinners sick with a deadly, incurable ailment that requires God's intervention. And this is true of all of us. And we don't have the strength, the wisdom, the know-how to bring about a cure to our sin problem. We can't do it. We can't fix it. That's how it is. But the great news of the gospel is that we don't have to. Do you know why? Because Jesus has already accomplished it for us. We're told that every time you call upon the name of the Lord, he delivers, he rescues, he redeems, he saves, he's more than able and more than willing to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But for that to happen, every single one of us, especially those of you who never have, must turn to Jesus today by faith. We turn to him, we humble ourselves, we believe in him, we worship him, we bless him, we turn from our sin, we confess Jesus Lord. He is God, and I'm telling you, loved ones, he is worthy of our praise. For the believer this morning, we know that Jesus has already made us clean by forgiving us of our sins. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, God forgives us and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He gives us that pure heart and clean hands. Jesus does that for us. And then we can lift up our hands to the Lord with no shame because we are clean in Christ. which means we need God's forgiveness and cleansing before we can do that in the sanctuary. And forgiveness comes only once again through faith in our Lord Jesus. But once you are forgiven, start lifting up those hands. And isn't that what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8? It may be familiar to you. It says this, therefore, can you guys see it on the screen? I want the men in every place. I want all men everywhere to pray. You guys see it? Lifting up holy hands. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want men everywhere, in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. You know, our forgiveness and cleansing in Christ is so complete that you and I not only lift up our hands in the sanctuary, we can now enter the very presence of God through Jesus Christ as well. Which means for us, every day then, every night, should be a night or day of praising. Every day should be a day of worshiping. Every day should be a day of blessing Yahweh. Every single day, every single night. We who are in Christ, we have been redeemed from the bondage of sin, self, Satan, through the blood of Jesus. We are the ones, most of all, who should be praising God and blessing His name. Amen? That's the message of Psalm 134. And so once again, the big idea here is the life that blesses Yahweh is a life that is blessed by Yahweh. And before we continue on here to the last verse, I've been thinking about this a lot this week. Part of my journey towards ministry, and it's just something I'm giving God thanks for. I don't know if you know this, but I spent 10 years in seminary, all right? It's a lot of time, full time as a student, working some of it, but all the time carrying a full schedule, 10 years in a library, 10 years under a huge stack of books. 10 years is a long time. And one of the blessings of a seminary education is spending a lot of time in the book of Psalms. And I had 3.5 years of Hebrew, spring, summer, fall, spring, summer, fall, spring, 3.5 years of Hebrew study, translated almost every psalm from Hebrew to English, wrestling over the grammar, wrestling, struggling. And part of that process is reading Psalms a lot. Probably read it 100 times, the book of Psalms. Very thankful for it. Many of the times academically, many of the times devotionally. And I only mention that to say this. The Psalms are a treasure for you and for me, and I hope that you spend time in the Psalms, because the Psalms provide for us, the believer, a path on how to live this Christian life. And we desperately need it. We really do. In the early sections of the Psalms, there are many Psalms of sadness. And that's why some of you have never read the book of Psalms, because you kind of get to the early ones, and there you're like, are they all like this? And there's Psalms of sadness and Psalms of lament and Psalms of suffering and pain and trouble and hardship. And there's a lot of those Psalms. There's a bunch of these. And many of these Psalms reflect the suffering of living in this fallen world. And isn't it true? Living in this fallen world, it's just hard. And even this morning, some of you are dealing with loss and a diagnosis and a conflict and a child that's struggling, or a parent, or yourself, and it's just so hard. And that's what's beautiful about the Psalms, because they teach us how to live. They speak to life as it really is. But what you find out is as you continue on through the book of Psalms, you begin to kind of leave the Psalms of lament and start to get to the Psalms of joy and blessing. And that's what we see here in Psalm 134. And as we look at this short psalm today, it's a psalm of blessing. It really culminates in the pinnacle or the mountaintop of all the psalms to this point. And so if you think about it, what you have here in the book of Psalms is really a path for how to live. Are you following the path? I'm telling you, you need this to get through. It's a path for how to live because each of us know pain. Do you know how to deal with pain? Each of us know discouragement. Do you know how to deal with discouragement in a biblical way? Each of us know difficulty and hardship. And we should also know about praise and worship and blessing of Yahweh. Psalm 134 then is, in a real sense, the culmination of worship, which should be in the all the hearts of God's children, your heart, my heart, every single one of us. So lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. That's what we do. That's what we do. And this verse then answers the question, where do we praise and bless Yahweh? Where do we do it? Well, everywhere, but specifically it says here in his sanctuary. That's the temple in the context. That's the place where his people are gathered for worship. Fast forward now to us. This should be obvious, but perhaps not. When we gather together on Sunday, and we really should. We don't keep track of church attendance, obviously. It's between you and the Lord. But we should be gathering for worship. We should. We must. And when we come together, we do so for the purpose of praising God and blessing him. It's not to see who shows up. It's not to see, hey, which pastor's preaching this week? It's not to see our friends. We are gathering to worship and to bless Yahweh. And that's what the Sunday morning worship service is all about. And that's what we do. We do it today, and we do it next Sunday, and the Sunday after that. It's blessing his name. Now let's check out verse 3. First couple verses about blessing Yahweh. Now let's move on to the second part. You're going to love this part. May Yahweh also bless you. All right? Which is, how great is that? I mean, it could have just ended with us blessing God, but that's not how it ends. It ends with Yahweh blessing us too. So thank you, Lord, for that. I pray this encourages you. It says here in verse 3, may Yahweh bless you. And that's my prayer for every single one of you this morning, that the Lord would bless you. May Yahweh bless you from Zion, who made heaven and earth. Isn't that good? And here's what makes it especially good. The you there is not plural. Big whoop, what does that mean? It's actually singular in the original language, which means, and this should bless your heart, the blessing of this verse applies to the individual, to each person, for the believer. The blessing is for each man and woman here today. Each student, each child who is trusting in Jesus as their Savior. What a great word. What a great promise. May Yahweh bless you specifically. Specifically. From Zion, who made the heavens and the earth. I was reading this week a commentator. Several of them said this. I'll point it out. I think it's noteworthy. I think it's interesting. Many of the commentators suggested that this psalm probably worked as like a call and response. Maybe some of you were raised in a Christian tradition where there was kind of call and response, it's just kind of part of the tradition. And many think that this is how this psalm was used. And so if you can imagine the people calling out verses 1 and 2 to the priests and the Levites in the temple, and the priests and the Levites would respond to the people with the blessing for the worshiper in verse 3, which is actually really great, because it doesn't end with us blessing Yahweh, it ends with Yahweh blessing us. And that's a blessing. And God, who is the good one, makes this blessing possible. It's his grace that allows us to draw near to his presence. And with this final blessing, just a couple things I think that are noteworthy. I don't want you to miss it. Notice there what it says in the second part of verse 3. Do you see it? Who, do you guys see it? Made heaven and earth. And some of you are like, well, wait a second. My science teacher said that. Your science teacher has it wrong, all right? Yahweh made the heaven and the earth. First of all, remember who God is. Who is this Yahweh who blesses us? Answer, right? He is the maker of heaven and earth. Yahweh, who blesses us, is also our creator. He's the creator of everything. That's what he is. The life that blesses Yahweh is a life that is blessed by Yahweh. And who is Yahweh that blesses us? He's the maker of heaven and earth. That's who he is. The second thing, remember where God's blessing is found. You guys see it there in verse 3? It says it. Do you guys see it? Notice again, may Yahweh bless you from Zion. I don't know what that means. Zion is where God meets with his people. And so remember who God is, and then remember where God's blessing is found. Zion represents Mount Zion, which represents Jerusalem, which represents the temple, which represents the place where God meets with his people. And so whenever we see Zion, we need to think, where does God meet with his people? Because that's Zion. And that's where God's blessing is found. What a treasure. Ultimately, in the future, we know that Zion represents heaven, where we will be with God and his people forever and ever. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about this, about heaven in terms of Zion and Jerusalem and the people of God. It says there in verse 22 and following, but you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the festal gathering and assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. How great is that? The book of Hebrews also tells us that Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, where he sits right now at the right hand of the Father, he is praying for us, his people. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. That's what we should be doing this morning, loved ones. It's drawing near to the Lord. Now's your opportunity to do so. Since he always lives to make intercession for them, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy and innocent and undefiled and separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. And so Jesus ascended to heaven first so that he could pray for us and bless us from the heavenly Zion. And because Jesus ascended, we can also ascend to God today through prayer and worship during our time here on earth. And eventually in the very presence of God when we die and go to be with him. Just let that sink in. That's extraordinary, loved ones. What a great promise. That is a truth. It's something we should hold dear. This morning, the blessing of verse 3 is not just for heaven, but for every day. It's for every day and night that we live here. And it can be applied in a myriad of ways. So we have so much to look forward to, but we have today, and we can still praise him. So much to give God thanks for, so much to bless his name over. Thank you, Lord. Should we start today, we could continue until Jesus returns. That's how much we have to give him thanks for. And this is what we'll be doing as believers for all eternity. And this is what we are called to do every day and night until the Lord brings us home. And that's why I said at the beginning, this psalm is as good as it gets. And so my prayer for you this week is, may the Lord bless you. May God bless you. May Yahweh bless you from Zion, who made the heavens and earth, because the life that blesses Yahweh is a life that is blessed by Yahweh. Amen? Amen. Why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? So good. My goodness. Today, Psalm 134 has taught us that the very act of praising God, that's a blessing too. And if that weren't enough, God also promises to add his own blessing as well. Our whole lives are meant to be worship, which means every thought, every deed, every action. As Christians, we are called to live a life that brings praise and honor and blessing to the Lord. And as we do so, we will know Yahweh's blessing on our life. And I want that for you. And I want that for me as well. And so as we take this to heart, One of the things that God is looking for, even this morning, Scripture says it, God is looking for people to praise him, people to worship him, people to bless him. And I wonder if he's searching now, looking for true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. I wonder how many worshipers would he find. Are you here to praise him today? Are you here to bless his name? Because that's what Psalm 134 is saying. God wants to be blessed. God wants to be praised. God wants to be worshiped. I hope today that none of us see this as a burden or as a duty or an obligation. I hope that we would not, because I can promise you this, worshiping Yahweh, it's not a burden, it's a blessing. Amen? It's not a burden. It's a blessing. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. It's not a duty. It's a delight. It's a very high honor. And because of that, I'd love to give you the opportunity to respond now. I think that's only fitting that we would apply what we've heard. And so would you stand with me to your feet? We bless Yahweh together. Can we do that? Why don't we stand together? Allow me to pray for us first, and then we'll bless the name of the Lord. Father in heaven, so good. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It is truth. It is precious in our eyes. And God, as we say so often, we pray this morning that you would sanctify us by your truth. Help us get in alignment with your word today, and that we could be among those who worship you, Lord, day and night. We know that you are the great God of heaven and earth, and you are worthy of our praise. And so we offer it to you now gladly. Receive our worship, we ask. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen.